Good morning to each of you. It's good to be together as a family of God. We're not all related by blood, but we are related because we have the same Heavenly Father. But I'm doing a continuation of last Sunday. I brought the message on forgiveness, and today I want to bring a message on. I want to do a message on from unforgiveness to freedom. Taken from Ephesians 4. First off, I'd like to do a little review for those of you who weren't here and those of you who are like me who forget pretty quick. Last Sunday, I talked from Matthew 18, 21 to 35, where it talks about the man who had a tremendous debt that was forgiven him and a debt that he couldn't pay. No way possibly could he pay. But the king forgave him. And he turned around and wouldn't forgive a man who owed him, in my book, peanuts. He wouldn't forgive him. And the friend saw what happened, how he wouldn't forgive him, and he threw him in jail. And his friends got a hold of this man who was forgiven much, took him back to the king, and told the king what had happened. And the man, the king, said, "You're a wicked servant." And he threw him in prison until he could pay and turned him over to the tormentors. And verse 35 is so key. It says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." And there's a key word in there that I think is in there that is from your heart. It's not just a head forgiveness, but it's a heart level that affects your thinking and actions toward the person who offended you. It's forgiving from the heart. If I tell my wife I love her, that's one thing, but if I tell her I love you with all my heart, that takes it to a different level. I'm going to do it in my actions. That everything about me, I want to express my love to her. But there are those who express forgiveness from the head. "I'll forgive you." And they don't even think about it anymore, and they go on acting and not the path of forgiving, but in the path of unforgiveness. The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. Mark 11, 25 and 26 says, "If you stand praying and you have anything against anyone, you have to go clear that before you come to God. Drop it and leave it there, in order that your heavenly Father may forgive you your trespasses." And in verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive, Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings." John 6:37 says, "Father, forgive them, forgive, and you will be forgiven." And the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:12 says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And by praying that we're agreeing with God, this is the assumed way of life in the kingdom. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we forgive. That's what we do as Christians, as being part of the family of God. Forgive as I have forgiven you. And as you think about that, that's pretty incredible. And do I really mean that as I'm praying the Lord's Prayer? I also talked about, remember, the setting which Jesus was teaching this was coming out of the law-based living, where there was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And if there was offense, it was paid for immediately. And Peter was in this crowd when Jesus was teaching, and I talked about Peter's emotions. He wore them on his sleeve a lot. And he asked Jesus, "How many times do I have to forgive?" And in my book, I think he was looking for a loophole, an exception, a people that he don't have to forgive. Or I go this far and then I don't have to forgive anymore. It was such a dramatic difference from what he was used to. But the answer was clear. Forgive everyone for everything all the time. Forgiveness is a decision. I choose through the power of the Holy Spirit to release a person from the obligation that resulted when they injured me. I release you. I release you from the payment due. I'm not seeking revenge. I won't focus on it. You don't owe me. I'm not going to keep record of it. I won't bring it up again. I will pay the debt, and by the grace of God and the support of the family of God, friends, counselors, pastors will walk a path of healing. And finally, in review of last week, I talked about what forgiveness is not. And I believe this is it's pretty important to keep in mind. Forgiveness is not diminishing or approving of the wrong. Forgiveness is not enabling the person. It's not rescuing the person from consequences. It's not denying the wrongdoing. It's not waiting for an apology. It's not forgetting. Although the next one goes along with that, or ceasing to feel from pain. But as we walk the path of healing, the memory and the pain will subside as you walk the path of healing. It's not necessarily trusting right away again in that person. Trust is lost easily, and trust is gained slowly by fruits in keeping with repentance. Forgiveness is not only a one-time event, and we'll talk about that today some. And forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. It takes one to repent, it takes one to forgive, but it takes two for reconciliation. And so I ask you at the end of the service last week to come before the Lord and say, Lord, is there someone you want me to release? Is there someone you want me to forgive that I'm holding on to this unforgiveness thing? That I choose by the power of the Holy Spirit to release. I release you from the obligation to pay when you injured me or damaged me. Or from a situation that you're just holding on to and you're not letting go of. Jesus is very serious about this forgiveness piece. Most of the time when Jesus talked about forgiveness, he mentioned that his forgiveness to us is based on our forgiveness of other people. He says that many times. If you won't forgive my brothers and sisters, I won't forgive you. And I believe that's very serious. In Mark 11:25, Ephesians 4:32 in our text today, and Colossians 3:13 all talk to that fact of Jesus not forgiving us if we're not willing to forgive our brothers and sisters. And the fallout of unforgiveness is huge. It opens our lives up to the Satan and his demons. And that's why Jesus was so emphatic about immediate forgiveness and not giving room to Satan, room for the devil. The fallout is huge on innocent people, where there's people who won't forgive. And the fallout on innocent people is huge. They take their anger and their rage and their bitterness, and they hurt other people. There's parents who have been hurt, who won't forgive, and they pass it on to their children, and they hurt their innocent children. And on it goes. And my cry is this morning that we break that cycle of unforgiveness in our lives. I believe, so the title of the message this morning is From Unforgiveness to Freedom. And I believe forgiveness has two parts. The first part is the point of offense, the moment where you were hurt. I believe Scripture says we are to release the person. Scripture teaches at the moment of offense, we are to release that person from the obligation to pay. And it's an interaction between you and God. It's immediate, total forgiveness. Not a partial forgiveness, but an immediate, total forgiveness. We are to forgive as Jesus forgives. And if we ask the question, how does Jesus forgive us? It's immediately, it's totally. And the second part is the path to healing. I may be turning around a lot to see where I'm, make sure I'm on the right slide. So it's forgiveness I see as two pieces. One is the moment of the offense where we release it, and the second part is the path to healing. And that path may take some time. And that's where I think sometimes the confusion comes into play, where we know we're supposed to forgive, but we're not there yet. And that's why I like the picture of a two-part forgiveness, of releasing. Between you and God, I say, release them, I forgive them. But then there's a path of healing we need to walk, which may take some time, and it includes renewing our minds to a different way of thinking. If you will, open your Bibles to Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. We'll read the text. Verse 25 says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. And there's the importance of forgiving quickly. Nor give place to the devil, because when we don't forgive, that's a foothold for the devil to get into our lives and plant seeds that germinate very quickly. Let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I see when we're offended, when we're hurt, when we're faced with what to do with an offense, I like to picture it as we have two paths to take. We have two paths to take. And I picture it as two doors we can walk through. And if the slide comes, it's a picture of a man standing in front of two doors. And one of them is marked forgiveness, and the other one is marked... Okay, at the point of offense, we have two choices to make. And two doors we have to walk through. One is forgiveness, and the other one is unforgiveness. We have a choice before us of which path we're going to walk. We have two doors to walk through, two paths to walk. The first one we're going to walk through is the one of not forgiving. And when someone violates us or steals from us or hurts us or offends you, and we choose not to forgive. And by the way, if we choose this path, we're on our own. We're saying, I can handle this myself. God, I don't need you. I can handle it myself. And verse 30 talks about this path which grieves the Holy Spirit. And think with me that the Holy Spirit, God gave you that gift, that conversion. God gave you the Holy Spirit. And where you go, the Holy Spirit goes. What you say, the Holy Spirit hears. And what you feel, the Holy Spirit bears. And grieving the Holy Spirit is walking down this path where you're grieving the Holy Spirit within you. And so we choose not to forgive. And immediately our flesh rises up at the offense. And we say, this isn't right. And someone's going to pay. And I'll get you back. And we lash out, retaliate. And we say, wow, freedom. They got what they deserved. It feels so good. Did you ever respond in a wrong way and say, phew, that felt good. I told them. They knew what I think now. They'll never do that again. You know why it feels good? Because that's what Satan wants you to believe. Satan wants you to think that feels so good. But in reality, that's poison. That's poison to our hearts, poison to our souls. And we've just given, like it said in verse, I forget which verse it was there, we've given place to the devil in our hearts by choosing unforgiveness. And it opens our lives up to bitterness, which the scripture calls is a deadly poison. And you hit the next slide, Tim. When actually, in reality, we just entered into a prison. When we choose to walk through the door of unforgiveness, we've entered into a prison. And here I want to talk about some of the emotions that it talks about in verse 31 of what that prison is like. What are the emotions of that prison as you walk into those through that door of unforgiveness? The first one is bitterness. The first reward, if you want to hit the next slide, and you can, as I go along, just move them down. The first one is bitterness. The first reward of unforgiveness is bitterness. It means to cut. It cuts our insides to shred. Bitterness actually means to cut. It cuts our insides to shred. It's a resentful spirit that refuses reconciliation. What lemon is to the mouth, bitterness is to the heart. It's an inclination to have a harsh opinion of people. You may wonder why I jump all over people's cases or why I find fault in people so easily. It's because we've been hurt and our protective mechanism kicks in. And we want to heat it off or guard it off before it comes. We sense something coming. We use bitterness to keep people at bay. We're bitter, and there's nothing worse than being bitter. It's like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. That's what bitterness does. Bitterness kills us, and we think we're making the other person pay. The next one is wrath. Wrath is a deep, settled indignation. It's the constant flowing of anger, flowing from an angry heart. And it's keeping it fresh in your mind. That's what wrath is. It's keeping it fresh, keeping it alive in your mind, the anger. The next one is anger. It's a temporary outburst of rage. One minute you explode. You lash out. The next minute it goes away. There's verbal abuse. There's physical abuse. Why do I do this? I don't want to be like this. I don't know why I do this. And it usually brings hurts to the one closest to us. And people walk on eggshells around us because they're afraid that something will set us off. Destructive anger is because of unforgiveness. The next one it talks about is clamor. Clamor is a noise of relational strife. That this person requires you to hear my grievance. I must say it and you will listen to me. You will hear what I have to say. I'm going to say it. It's because of unforgiveness. A slanderous person is slander is blasphemy against God and people. They use words that are intended to hurt others. I don't care who this hurts. I don't care what it does to people. I'm going to say it because of unforgiveness, because I've been hurt. The last one it talks about is malice, the evil inclination of the mind. I'm going to feel this way. I don't care what you say. I'm right and you know, and I'm going to prove my point. It wasn't my fault, and on we go. That's a malicious heart because of unforgiveness. Someone has to pay, and it isn't going to be me. And I say, yeah, right. It isn't going to be you. They're the results of giving room for the devil. When we choose unforgiveness, when we walk through that door of unforgiveness, we give room to the devil, and these are the rewards of unforgiveness in our hearts. It's a horrible picture. Jesus said, as long as you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, I won't forgive you. I wrestled and wrestled with this as I studied the last 2 weeks and thought about the seriousness of not forgiving, the reality that Jesus won't forgive us, but I can't get around it. It's a road that leads to destruction. We hit the next slide, Tim. The next slide is the door of forgiveness, of walking through this door. We hit the next slide. And by walking through that door, we embark on a path of healing, a path that leads to wholeness. It's where we have all the access to everything God has for us. All the power is available to us as believers as we walk this path. By walking this path, it's the promise not to pick the scab again. I remember when I had chicken pox, I had scabs all over me, and Mom said, of course, you don't pick the scabs, and of course, I picked the scabs. And it would open up and fester, and they'd heal up a little bit, and I'd pick them again. And I think I have some scars today from that. But anyway, picking a scab is keeping the unforgiveness fresh. It's like, I'm not going to let it go. It's going to keep festering and festering. But walking the path of forgiveness is, I'm not going to pick that scab again. And as a Christian, it's my responsibility to forgive immediately and totally. It doesn't make sense to the non-believer. They know nothing about forgiveness being immediate and total. It's a rule we live by. As God hath forgiven you, this is how we are to forgive other people. Immediately, total, and a promise to bring it up no more. So as we open up this door and release these people to God and release ourselves to God for them, from making them pay. This is a dialogue between you and God. and not the other person. And you release them so that root of bitterness does not sprout up in your heart. You release them so you can begin to heal. And I don't believe we need to express our forgiveness to the other person unless they come and acknowledge their sin to you. In Luke 17, verse 4, it talks about if they repent, you can verbalize your forgiveness to them. If they repent, forgive them. Verbalize it to them. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." He didn't say, "Father," he didn't say to the crowd, "I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you." Between him and God, he forgave the people. Between Jesus and God, he forgave them. I believe we need to leave the verbalizing to the offender until they come. Allow God to work in their heart to bring them to a point of repentance. And I believe going before could give the feeling of we have one up on them, is that I'm better than you. See, I forgave. I'm better than you. Just some of my thinking on that. The second path that we choose to walk, by immediately forgiving and releasing, we bypass all those damaging emotions that go with unforgiveness. We bypass all that. And in place of that, in verse 32, it talks about the healing emotions that are expressed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to mention this here, that if you're a weekend Christian, this path may be too hard for you to walk. Because this path is a path for serious, dedicated followers of Jesus. That's going to take a huge amount of unconditional love from the Father flowing through us to those who offended us. It's serious business to walk this path of healing and to forgive. And the path of healing can be a hard path to walk. There can be a lot of pain involved, but there's healing at the end. And God's strength is there for you during that time. If you hit the next slide, Tim. It says, "Be ye kind one to another." Be kind. I believe when our actions change, your feelings and attitudes towards that person will change. Those of you who have seen the movie Fireproof, remember the 40-day journey that the father asked the son to go on. And at the beginning, the son didn't want nothing to do with this journey. It wasn't working. But he kept doing. He kept showing love to his wife, kept showing love to his wife. And eventually, his heart got on board with what was happening, and he had a true love for his wife. And as you experience God's love in your heart, and you're able to allow that to flow out to the one who offended you, pray for them. Be kind to them. Pray for them. Ask God how you can express that to them. See them as God sees them. How did God see you when you failed? He doesn't treat you according to our sins. He treats us as though it never happened when we come before him in forgiveness. Treat them as though it didn't happen, but remember what I said, the list of forgiveness is not. It's not denying the sin and the whole list that I talked about there. Not minimizing it, but we forgive it. We release them. We see them as a person God loves, and that's part of the process of healing. We are commanded to love as God loves, not on our own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the journey that's going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you. The second thing it talks about, Tim, is tender-hearted. Be kind, be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted means a readiness to feel the pain of another person. It means an open spirit versus a closed spirit. A closed spirit is one that self-protects, and we close our spirits to the person who offended us and says, you're not gonna impact my life. You mean nothing to me. Nothing you say will affect me. And we close our hearts to protect ourselves. Tender heart means opening our heart to people, opening a heart to the person who offended us. Pray for them. Thoughts of compassion. Maybe they didn't have a godly home. Maybe they didn't have a father. Maybe they don't know Jesus. Have compassion on them. Have a compassionate heart. be open to relationship. God is calling us to love, to be kind, and be tenderhearted. And ask God for ways you can practically show that to the person God is calling us to love and to be tenderhearted. Healing emotions for a hurting heart. Be kind, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And we are allowing the love of God to flow through us to those who offended us. God is so willing to give us all we need to love in the midst of pain. Kindness and tenderheartedness are weapons to defeat unforgiveness. The last part is there's freedom in forgiveness. I love that picture of the gateway to freedom is through forgiveness. You may find yourself on the path of unforgiveness this morning. I don't know. But there's good news for all of us. Along the path of unforgiveness, there are paths that lead to healing and wholeness. Anywhere along that path, you can get off that path of unforgiveness and walk to the door of forgiveness and open the door and say, Lord, I release them for what they've done to me. I relieve them from the obligation to pay when they hurt me. And we take the burden of unforgiveness and all of its damaging emotions and lay them at the foot of the cross and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for carrying this burden for so long. Acknowledge the hurt before God. Acknowledge what hurt you're carrying. Grieve the loss. You may have carried it for a long time. And we need to grieve the loss of what could have been, what should have been, what may never be. That I wish my life was different. Or I wish we were still friends. I wish it hadn't happened. I wish our relationship was different, but I can't change it. I'm not making it any better by holding on to it. It's not my job to fix them. It's God's job. That's God's responsibility. And I choose to let it go. I let it go and lay it before the Lord. And confess your unforgiveness as hatred. For if you have hatred, if you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, the love of Jesus isn't going to flow through our hearts. And we can't love someone we're hating. Our minds need to be renewed, a new way of thinking. We've developed a destructive way of thinking that needs to change. Attitudes are patterns of thinking that are developed over a long period of time. I believe it starts when we come before the Lord and realize His deep love for us. As we think about our pattern of thinking needs to change, I think the first step is coming before the Lord, confessing, releasing, laying our burden before the Lord, confessing our sin to Him, and ask God to give us a new way of thinking. I want to read some verses that talk about the deep love for you. John 10:11-15:13, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it is written, an eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither love entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Let that impact your heart. Or how about this one? Before we were even born, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. 1 John 4:9. And this is manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might through him live. Sit in his presence. Come before the Lord in prayer. Read his word and ask God for a heart like his, a heart of love. Matthew 7 says, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking, and it shall be given you. I believe as we continue to do that and keep on doing that, our heart will respond with love. And it'll begin to flow through us to those who have offended us. And I believe that's where the healing path begins for a person who has chosen the path of unforgiveness. And along this path of healing, there'll be many times where you may find yourself going back to that scab and picking it. And again, we need to release it before God and say, God, I release them again. So you can continue on the path of healing. Now, I want to acknowledge this morning that there are people that you know and people even here this morning who have been crushed over and over and over again in hard relationships. And you've released them with all the power that you have in you, and by the grace of God, you've released them, but emotionally you're spent. And on one hand, you want to be kind and tender-hearted, but on the other hand, you may be faced in this relationship with the constant abuse. And those feelings are real. Think about when Paul was converted, and God told Ananias, go to Paul. And I said, what? No way. He's the killer of Christians. I'm not going to him. So the feelings are real. Ananias felt those feelings of, wait a minute. He's feeling this, you know, I don't want to put myself in that position again. But I believe God's grace is sufficient for all. God's grace is sufficient for us in every part of our journey, and the Lord will be with us. And we may need to withdraw for a season for healing, to have the Spirit of God and the earthly ministers that I talked about before, counselors, friends, pastors, moms, dads, speak life into us. And to have our minds renewed from the lies we've been told over and over and over again, to allow healing to begin, so that we can display the tenderness, the kind-heartedness, and forgiving each other as God intended for us as believers. You know, in my life, I've walked both these paths. I've come face to face with both these doors. I know what it's like to walk that path of unforgiveness and to have that bitterness and hatred in my heart, and it's not a fun place to be. And I know the joy of walking through the door of forgiveness and releasing. I know that joy. And I believe this journey starts with little offenses, of forgiving little offenses. My mind goes back to the man who wouldn't forgive a little bit. And I think in translating that to this forgiveness here today, there's little things in our lives that were never meant to be offenses that we hold on to and cause a root of bitterness to grow up. I'll give you a little example. It's peanuts, but it's an illustration. Last Monday morning, I went to my truck. The door, the window was left open. My truck seat was wet, the floor was soaked, and I was irritated. I don't like to sit on a wet seat. And I didn't leave it open. So I could have, don't go to imaginations here. But in my heart, this is just me processing. In my heart, I could have held on to that and been angry at that person. Why would you let a window open and let rain in a truck? Why would you do that? But I found myself, because I'm thinking about this, I released that person in my mind. I released them. They didn't intend it for evil. It just happened. They just left the window open and let it go. And I think we need to hit home runs in these little areas if we're going to hit home runs in the big ones. If we're not hitting home runs in the little ones, there's no way when a big offense comes that we're going to be able to forgive. And to carry offenses, it separates us from God. It's very clear in Scripture. We say they know better. They shouldn't have done that. What were they thinking? Let it go. If we carry an attitude of forgiveness all through our lives, in every situation, the burden is light. There's freedom in forgiving. Now, I believe as we walk this path of healing and forgiveness, we learn so much about the grace of God. We learn so much about the strength God gives us. We learn so much about His love and so much about who He is that we'll never learn walking the path of unforgiveness. And as we do these things, Christ will be exalted in our lives. And I think of Becky's testimony here this morning of allowing God to work in our hearts so that the honor and glory goes to God for what he has done in our lives. And I believe there's people observing our lives all around us who are watching us. And they're saying, is this Christianity really real? Does it make a difference? And they're watching how we respond. They're watching how we respond to hard situations. And when people hurt us, they're watching. Does Jesus really make a difference? And doesn't the Spirit of God within us enable us to live supernaturally above what the non-Christian knows anything about? And just as Christ forgave us, let's pass that on to those who hurt us. In closing, there's no lasting relationships without forgiveness. You think about it. In friendships, there's no lasting relationships without forgiveness. Think about your close friends. How many times have you had to go and say, hey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Or you had to forgive them. Think about it in your marriage. There's no lasting marriage that succeeds without forgiveness. How about in our church, the relationships in church? How we need to forgive each other as brothers and sisters. How about in business? As we leave from here and go about our jobs, and how we need to forgive those we work with. Forgiveness. And how Christ's testimony, the testimony of Christ shines brighter when we forbear with each other, when we forgive. I want to read Romans 12. I want you to just sit and listen. It's a picture of how God intended us to relate to each other. As we think about facing this door, these doors of forgiving and unforgiving, this is God's letter to you. I want you to sit quietly and listen and allow God to speak to our hearts. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't know what God's saying to you this morning, Ben, if you want to start playing. I want to give you opportunity to respond in any way you want to this morning. I want, as you think about this whole thing of forgiving and unforgiving, it affects us all. It hits me between the eyes. And I wrestled with this thing of if I don't forgive my brothers, God's not going to forgive me. That's huge. That's huge. And as we come before the Lord, I know an invitation can be emotional time, and you respond on emotions. I don't want any of that this morning. If you're going to commit yourself to walking this path of healing and forgiving, I want it to be from your heart, not from your head. I want it to be a heart experience. I want you to be serious with God and say, God, I'm going to let it go. Forever and ever, I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to walk this path of healing. And if you make that commitment this morning, I want you to tell one person that can help you walk this path of healing. God intended us to live in freedom, not in bondage. He wants us to be free. As we come before the Lord, let's close our eyes, bow our heads. If you want to come up and pray, or just quietly in your seat, come before the Lord and say, Lord, you've forgiven us much. Lord, there's things that hurt us and hurt us deeply. You call us to release, to begin a path of healing, one that is highlighted by the power of your Holy Spirit living in us, to live above what hurts us, what we're dealing with. Lord, you've given us your word, your promises, that you will not give us anything that we cannot handle. Lord, you've given us brothers and sisters to walk this path with us, and we're thankful for that. Lord, this morning, in the quietness of the morning, as we just come before you, search our hearts. Root out any bitterness and hatred and malice, slander and clamor in our hearts. Lord, give us the strength to walk through that door of forgiveness and to claim the freedom that is there. Display your power, your love. Thank you, Jesus.